Welcome everybody out to the DDD podcast. We got a solar edition of the Golden Door deep dive with the one and only Luke Ward, the number one solar rep in the United States of America with, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Luke, but almost more than 200 installs this in 2023, correct?
Yeah, correct. It's 203 installs. So yeah.
Jeez, that's a lot of glass. That's a lot of sun. That's a lot of energy. So, Luke, I want to dive head first. I've known who you are for years. You're an infamous name in the industry. I don't know too much about your backstory, how you got into the industry, even or anything. What is the Luke Ward origin story?
Oh yeah, this is the best part of my story. I was doing construction. And I was working at Idaho Falls, Idaho, and I was a roofer, not selling roofs, actually roofing. So, you know, the application of roofs, a very challenging, hard job, kind of a crappy job. They didn't even recognize how awesome I was and make me like the boss. I wasn't even the boss. And my buddy was selling alarms down in Arizona. So he was selling alarms for a ADT dealership. And we had kind of stayed connected a little bit. I didn't know what he was doing. I knew he had left Pocatello, Idaho. And he had come down to Arizona to come sell for this company. And we had a conversation on the phone and he said he made like $8,000 in 2 weeks. You got to understand, I had only made like $20,000 working 50-hour work weeks for the entire year. I mean, this is the entire year. So he told me that, grabbed my attention, and I just felt like I could do this, right? And so we had had conversations and then opportunity opened up. It was in October of 2009. Opportunity had opened up where he had said, hey, I'm going to Disneyland with my kids. Do you want to come down here and try a blitz out in Phoenix, Arizona? And I was like, yeah, I had just had a baby, had just bought a house. I was making, I mean, $25,000, maybe $30,000 a year. I was okay, but I was not happy with where I was at. And you got to understand the backstory to this. I had been doing a lot of personal development for about 2 years, reading a ton of books and just kind of preparing myself for this door, right? This opportunity. And I knew that I had much more of a potential than being some roofer. And so I quit my job and I flew down, or I drove his car from Idaho to Arizona, first time ever in Arizona. And then I plopped down and I sold for a week. And then we did a blitz trip that following week. But that first week I'd come down here, never sold before, but I read the training manual. I'd read the training manual every single day, like for a month before I got here. And then when I got here, I read it every single day. I'd read it when I woke up and I'd read it when I went to bed. This was the old training manual where it would like tell you, ask to use the customer's phone, because the training manual was written before people had cell phones. So you'd have to ask the customer to use their phone. It was crazy. And I read that training manual every single day. And I came down here on the Monday, I was all rip and roaring, ready to go. And I went out there, worked for 9 hours and bageled, dude. I was like, dude, what did I do? Wonder if they're going to give me my job back. I was like, dude, what am I doing? And the persistence paid off. And so I was just on the next day, I was on the doors at 10 a.m. I wouldn't quit until like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And I sold a deal. And then I sold another deal. And I sold another deal. And I popped in one deal a day for the next 5 days until Saturday, right? You got to understand the Phoenix market for alarms had been super saturated and people down here are grumpy and they're really rude. So I really cut my teeth on kind of earning my stripes with just going out there and getting my ass kicked day after day. But the persistence, and I was like, I have to do this. I burned my ships. I always talk about this. I burned my ships by quitting my job. I was like, I'm going to quit. I know I can do this. And if he can do it, I can do it. And I'm just going to train and I'm going to read this training manual. And then the following week, we went to Yuma, Arizona, and this was a blitz trip with the whole company. So at first, it was just me. It was just me driving to area, getting out of my car and knocking doors. And I was just super persistent and I worked hard, right? And so I was popping a deal every day and I got the attention of the owner of the company. He's like, dude, how's this guy doing it? Because people would always do blitz trips. They wouldn't focus on selling here in Phoenix. Then we went out to Yuma, Arizona, dude, and I crushed it. Dude, I did 26 deals that second week of my career.
Career, you did 26 alarms. Yes.
But this is the ingredient, right? I would be on the doors by 9 a.m. and I would share a hotel room with another rep, an experienced rep that was really good. He'd made a ton of money. He was still sleeping when I was on the doors. Everybody was still sleeping. And when I would get back to the hotel at night, everybody had been in the Applebee's, this restaurant next door to the hotel, micro hotel. Everybody was already been in the hotel eating for like an hour and a half. By the time I got home, I would come home. I would go grab something to eat. I'd go back to my room and I'd study the training manual, dude. And I'd be the first one on the door at 9 a.m. And I'd be the last one to come home every single day, no matter what. And consequently, I was the number one alarm rep that week. And that kind of was the pivotal point in my career, man, because I realized if it's going to be, it's up to me. And so ultimately, I won't be outworked. And I've understood that in the door-to-door space, if you just work hard, you fail forward. So what the great news about this is that you're going to get your ass kicked. It's going to be hard, but there's a learning curve that you come over. But if you just be persistent and you just outwork everybody, you will be the number one rep. And that's kind of been the stimuli of my entire career, is just to outwork everybody. And let me just tell you what happened. That 2 week period, we got paid for 2 weeks, right? It wasn't weekly increments, it was 2 weeks. My first paycheck was $10,000 in a 2 week period. You got to understand, I had worked all the way up 9 months. I had made $21,000 in 9 months doing this construction job. So if you paid me $10,000 in 2 weeks, I was like, dude, I am super sold. And I've never looked back. And as a consequence of that, from that October until this January 1st, I had sold, and we did 2 week blitz trips. So we do 2 weeks on, and then I go back to Idaho for 2 weeks. I sold like 68 deals. I had 68 installs in that period of time. So it's October, November, December. Dude, I absolutely crushed it, and I never looked back in the following year. And then I was the number one top rep year after year after year after year, every company I worked for. So, you know, that to me, but I think there's an ingredient with that. You get a lot of career salesmen, right, Roz? And yeah. So you get a lot of these guys that don't understand that other aspect of, you know, the laborious labor type of job that's very challenging for little money. You're not compensated very well. I think it gave me an attitude of gratitude because I am super grateful that all I have to do is walk around and talk to people, and you're going to pay me how much? We used to get $500 a deal. So $500 a deal, right? If you didn't go over the points. So I measured everything in deals. So all of my, anything I wanted was measured in a $500 increment. How many deals do I got to get to be able to get this? And that's how I shot my career. And so I would no longer focus on the monetary value. I'd focus on the numerical value. How many deals do I want this year? What am I going to do? The following year, I sold 327 deals, right? And in the alarm industry, and I worked about 4.5 months. I took 1 month off. 4.5 months doing these blitz trips, dude, and made $126,000. And my income has just incrementally gone up since then. So, but I think the mindset thing is to understand and realize the opportunity that we're given. So often, career sales realizes they don't see it like that. They see it like, oh, I got to go knock doors. Like, we get to go knock doors. We get to have the opportunity to be able to go knock doors and write our own paycheck. And ultimately, if you work harder, your income goes up. It's a law of averages. It's a law of just, you know, putting your where attention goes, energy flows. And so as long as you're putting one foot in front of the other and you're just out there, you're not making excuses, and you get out and you have some sort of commitment. Everybody, I think anybody on the planet can be a high performer, but ultimately it comes down to what's their commitment level.
100%. I think that is an incredible origin story. Speaking to, I want to first dive into that level of commitment. In your opinion, how does one really increase their commitment to this job?
Well, you got to realize, first of all, the opportunity that you have. So, like, I came from a construction background. I came from, my family of origin was very poor. We were like welfare family. I grew up with a single mom. My dad, I didn't even know my dad. He wasn't in the picture. And so for me, that it came from that just desire of for something more. And so if I'm given an opportunity, like given an opportunity to have some sort of success and to be able to dictate by my own actions, my income level, I take advantage of that. So I'm committed. And then also that's an insatiable desire to be better, right? I used to be really competitive with others around me. I'm still really competitive. I want to be the best, but ultimately it comes down to like that deep inside where you just want something more. You want to live up to your truest potential. And then also the preparation for all of the books that I had read up until then had set me on the path to be able to achieve that. The commitment level, You know, like if I could give every single rep that works for me some sort of commitment like I have, dude, I would have ballers. You know, everybody would be a baller. Where that comes from, I think that just comes from that desire to want something more and to be something better than what who you are. And that commitment for me has really come from having the opportunity, being first grateful. I'm super grateful that I've been given this opportunity, super grateful that I know if it's going to be, it's up to me. So ultimately, what do I have to do? So it's not just on the doors. What am I doing after the doors? Am I going and I'm going to go party? Am I going to drink it up? I'm going to go, you know, like these other guys were sleeping till noon, getting on the doors at 1 p.m., being done by like 6 or 7. Do I want that? What kind of results are they getting? And then what kind of results can I get if I'll just put in the extra effort? It comes from that just desire. You have to have some innate desire, I think, to be able to want to achieve or have or be something else. And if you have that, like those goals, and this is really where it comes into goal setting, you just have to have some sort of a goal that's bigger than yourself. I wanted to provide for my family. I wanted to have a new life. I wanted to live a life of abundance. I wanted to have a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I've continued to kind of foster that desire throughout my entire career. And I think that it comes from that. The other thing is you don't have to wait for your feelings to follow. I don't wait to be wanting to go knock doors. I never want to knock doors. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to run appointments. I don't want to do any of that, right? Ever. But I'm like, well, what's my commitment level? My commitment level will trump my feelings. And as long as my commitment level is stronger than the feelings, I force myself to go do it. And then the feelings end up following. If I just force myself to get out of that door, knock that door, go to the appointment, whatever I have to do, the feelings will end up following me, right? The feelings are going to follow the actions. So I act first and the feelings will follow me. And so I've noticed that. And so often we get into a car, we're about ready to go hit area. And all of a sudden our phone weighs 9,000 pounds. We got to check social media. We got to check emails. We got to check this. We got to check that, rather than just getting the heck out of the door and then just doing it. So don't get paralysis through analysis. Just do it and have some goal, right? If your goal is a monetary goal, once you hit the monetary value, you're going to stop. But I always have numerical goals. Like I want to hit so many deals. And so like, where am I at this week? How close am I to this? You know, what am I doing? And so what do I have to do? Whether I want to, whether I feel like it or not, you know, that goal is going to drive my behavior, and the behavior will drive the feelings once I start to take action. And so it's just having that innate desire and then that commitment level. I don't wait for the feelings to catch up. If I waited for my feelings to catch up, dude, I would be a scrub. I wouldn't be leaving my house. I wouldn't be getting out of my car door. I wouldn't be knocking doors. I wouldn't be running appointments. None of that. I don't wait for that stuff. You know, I have this commitment level and I have these firm commitments that are goal-based. And those are the driving force that drive me out to go and make deals.
I love that. That's amazing. So I want to, you know, you're in the alarm industry for a long time. How long were you in that space? And then what got you into solar?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. So I was in that space from 2009 until 2020. So I top rep every company I worked for. I worked for an ADT dealership, and then I switched to a security networks dealership. And then I opened my own dealership in 2013. I opened up a Brinks dealer, and I was a Brinks dealer. I'm still a Brinks dealer. I have a guy that runs a sub dealership out of it in California. But I ended up, COVID happened. So this was COVID was the biggest blessing in my life. I had run into the owners of Fusion Power at a main event. I was taking my kids down there to play laser tag. There's a bunch of kids running around with Fusion Power shirts. I knew of Fusion Power because one of my reps, when we were doing a blitz trip in California, sold a solar deal and made $18,000. And that got my attention. And so I was pissed at him because he was supposed to selling alarms, not solar deals, but also got my attention to how much money he made that on that deal. So when we came out, when this is in December, they were having their Fusion Power Christmas party. I ended up talking to the owner. So I saw these kids running around in Fusion Power shirts. I knew who they were. I was on my way out the door and I talked to Tyler McAllister, and he's one of the owners of Fusion Power. And I had talked to him and I said, hey, I've got, you know, 8,900 customers in California. I have detailed information on these people. I'd like to be able to sell them solar. And so we kind of made a little bit of a connection there. He's like, come into the office and we'll kind of get you set up so that you can sell these people. I said, okay. And so I went into the office, I talked to him, I chatted with him. And the whole objective there was to be able to sell the existing alarm customers solar deals, right? And so this was in December. I didn't do anything with it, January, February, March. And then in March, COVID happened, and my alarm companies based in California were licensed in a few other states, Arizona included, But the bread and the butter was made in California. And one of my guys got arrested in March for knocking doors because there are these very strict COVID policies. And so he had ended up getting arrested. They arrested him and took him to jail, dude. They booked and released him,
Nuts.
but we couldn't knock doors. So I was like, what am I going to do? And so we focused a lot of our attention in Arizona. And then in April of 2020, they shut us down here in Arizona. And nobody knew what was going to happen. And I didn't want to go knock doors. I didn't want to get arrested. I didn't want any of that stuff. And so I started looking into solar stuff. And I got kind of interested in it. I didn't know how a solar panel worked, didn't know how you got paid. I didn't know any of that stuff. So there's a lot of potential from earning potential. I reached out to Fusion. I completed their training. There was like 3 days of training with a sun run. And I ended up, they ended up saying, hey, we're not knocking doors right now, but we're doing phone dialing system. And they're like, here's this software. It's called ZenCall, and start making these calls and calling these people. You got to understand, I know how to knock doors. I know how to sell. I didn't know anything about solar, absolutely nothing. But I knew that I had this desire. And so what I started doing is just working the phones 2 hours a day. I ended up selling five deals in the month of April on the phone, not knowing how they worked. So one deal was on Zoom, and the other ones, I convinced these people to let me into their house. And I went over to their house and I sold them my first five deals over the phone, my first five appointments I closed. And then I saw how much money I was going to make. And I was like, dude, I'm not doing alarms anymore. I could make more money just being an individual rep than what I would be netting owning an alarm company. And so since that day, I've never looked back. I turned the dealership over to a guy that runs a sub dealership out of Bakersfield, California. And then May happened, and we were still locked down, but I was like, I'm gonna knock doors anyways. And I started knocking doors. Then I started knocking doors for this. And I sold my first eight accounts, my first eight presentations, not knowing what to do. I sold all of them. And I'm gonna give a plug for this. You know how I did it? I didn't know. We have a mentorship program right now. So the mentorship program, basically, you come in here, like if you work under me, I'm gonna show you everything. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. All you have to do is duplicate what I show you. And so one of the things that we do is we have a mentor. He shows you how to run the software, how to run the proposals, how to do the loans, how to do the paperwork. I missed all that because we were locked down. I had to figure all this stuff out myself. So, but I'll tell you what, I didn't know how to go into a solar deal and sell it. I knew how to sell tons of alarms. So they had door-to-door university, right? And this is a big part of my story. So I plugged into Door to Door University. I started watching this every single day, a video clip every single day. There was some that I liked more than others. I found the Michael O'Donnell clip. I'm like, this guy's a genius. I didn't know he lived in Arizona. I didn't know where he was at, but I watched the clips over and over and over every single day. And I did this for about 18 months. I watched a video clip every single day. And that's really what gave me the capacity to close all seven of those deals in my first, month and a half. But not only did I do that, I started implementing all of those things. I started implementing every single one of those things that I learned on the training videos every single day. I didn't know how a solar panel worked, but let me just tell you, one of the great things about doing that training, investing in that training, was that I learned from the best of the best, right? If you come to a mentor program, depending on what organization you belong to, if you come to a guy and he's your mentor and he's selling 50 accounts a year, what are the chances that you're going to do 200, right? So learning from someone that does 50 accounts a year. Now, what are the chances when you learn from the best of the best and they're doing 200 plus accounts a year? What are the chances that you can hit 200 accounts a year, right? Very likely, because all they're doing is they're showing you the magic. They're showing you the blueprint for selling 200. And so I literally learned from the best of the best in the industry. I learned from like Noah setting the appointment. The guy's absolutely phenomenal, dude. I watched his videos over and over and over and over again. I knew how to set appointments. I knew how to talk to people. I'm good at sales. I just didn't have those ingredients. So I learned from him. I learned from everybody on the Door to Door University, and I just applied what they had taught me. And I think that that's a big reason for my success. And so just to let you know, I came in there in April. The next guy up, the top rep, had like 60 something deals, 62 deals. And so we started doing training meetings in May. Okay. Started doing training meetings. So you come into these meetings, we have like an accountability thing. You tell them how many deals you got, how many deals you want. And I'd be sitting in these meetings and I'd be watching guys say, oh, I got five this week. And I'm like, dude, how did you do it? You got to understand, I was in Arizona, dude. I was working 10 hours a day. I went back to the drawing board, what I did in Alarm for Success or Success for Alarms. And so I was working my ass off, bro. I would be on the doors at 1 p.m. every single day in 110, 115, 120 degrees. And I wouldn't quit till 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, right? And so I was getting like maybe two or three deals a week. And I was like, how are they doing this? And I just started sitting in there and I remember having this gut wrenching feeling that I wasn't the best. I can't stand not being the best, dude. It eats me. It keeps me up at night. I would lose sleep. I would be, dude, like literally I go through this crazy stuff where it just eats my lunch. And I was like, how are they doing it? How are they doing it? How are they doing it? And I told the owners, I was like, dude, I'm going to be the number one solar rep here at the company this year. You got to understand, I had like six deals, the other guy, or seven deals. The other guy had 60. And so I told them that. I think they kind of laughed. They're like, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, right. Dude, at the end of the year, bro, I ended up with 116 installs from April, from May until January 1st. And I was the number one solar rep in the company. And so, you know, it was due to that, just that the feeling of unrest, that feeling of eating my lunch, losing sleep, and then watching those training videos and applying them and figuring out this algorithm. Now I feel like I have a successful blueprint that I can teach anybody. You want to know how to sell 300 plus deals accounts a year? I'll give you the blueprint. All you have to do is follow the blueprint to have that level of success. And so this is what upgrading or investing into your training, investing into anything that's showing you how to do it. You don't have to reinvent the wheel and you get to learn from the best of the best of the industry. So I can't stress enough how important it is to invest in yourself, invest in your future. It'll pay dividends. It'll be 10x, 20x your income. Fusion Power ended up getting rid of that door-to-door university. I was pissed. They ended up getting rid of it. It was costing them, I don't know how, it cost them $20,000 initially, and then it cost them per rep. They ended up getting rid of it back in like mid-May. And so I reached out to someone from your guys' team, and I bought it. It was like $800. So I was like, dude, the best investment of my life. That has paid me 20, 30, 50, 100 fold. $800. How many millions of dollars have I made in this industry? It's a good investment, dude. It's the best investment. And people that are willing to invest in themselves, like if you put your money rather than relying on the company, if you put your money on the line, dude, you're way more committed to the process. And so me being able to invest in that and be able to really watch those videos, train on those videos has really been a key ingredient to my success. I didn't have to cut my teeth and do five, six, seven a month, dude. I was like, hey, listen, I'm going to invest in this. I'm going to watch people that are already, you know, performing at a very high level. And I'm just going to apply this into my own life. And then I'm going to have that same level of success. I firmly believe that anybody can do that. Find somebody else that was highly successful and that is showing you the blueprint and then just duplicate it.
Absolutely. Because imagine your career without that.
Yeah.
How would you have figured it out? Probably the hard way.
Yep. I would have, I had to figure a lot of stuff out the hard way, but the sales ingredient, the sales process, the set process, the close process, you know, I learned from door-to-door university. Michael O'Donnell is a big, you know, a big inspiration for me. I saw how many deals he was closing. I saw he did an incredible training for you guys. It's just absolutely amazing. And since then I've my base was basing it off what they've done, but now I've come up with my own presentation. I've come up with my own, you know, my own algorithm for success, my own process inside the house, but as a direct result of being able to train with the best that has given me the ingredient and stuff to be high level top performer year after year and be the best solo rep in the nation year after year after year.
Absolutely. What would you say, you know, maybe there's a rep out there that is just kind of caught up in their own company's training and they just don't feel the need to actually like invest in either training or mentorship or some form of coaching.
What would I say to them?
Yeah.
You're selling yourself short, dude. I mean, you've got to invest. So, you know, my investment annually is hundreds of thousands of dollars. I invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in my education process. And it always comes back to me 3, 4, 5, 10, 100 fold, right? If I'm willing to invest, and there's a Jim Rohn that he talks about investing in your education. So the great thing about this is the more we invest inside of ourselves as sales reps, the higher that our personal development, the higher our income. And so if you're just if a company, unless they have ballers, like unless someone created, let's just help 3, 4, 500 accounts a year, you might not need to invest. But if they're showing you how to sell 100 accounts a year and there's somebody else that's doing 3, 4, 500 accounts a year, invest in that training. That training is going to pay dividends because they've already proven they're not, hey, do as I say, they're do as I do. Let me show you what I've done. It's a hand up, not a hand out. And so like, hey, listen, this is how I completed, you know, 200, 300, 400 deals in a year. I did it like this, and they're going to show you how to do it. And so like, so don't sell yourself short. I mean, you can be comfortable with where you're at. If you're comfortable selling 50 or 100 accounts a year, do your thing. But ultimately what happens is you're leaving a lot of money on the table, which leads me to the next thing. Listen, there's a shelf life in solar. I watched this happen in alarms, right? We watched the transition from alarms go from making a ton of cash, it relatively new, not saturated, to where it's at today with SimpliSafe and all of these other companies. I know Vivid's still doing the thing, but ultimately what happened, it transitioned to something completely different. So now there's less deals, there's less people making these massive amounts of deals and 400 or 500 accounts a year. I think there's about 2 people that hit the alarm golden door, 3 people that hit the alarm golden door this year, right? Back in the day, there would have been like, you know, 50. There would have been as many people hitting that as in solar. So the difference with this today is like, dude, this is the arguably the most disruptive technology in the United States. And so the way that I look at it is like, I'm going to get it while the getting's good. I'm going to get it while I can still cash in and make millions of dollars in this industry. And then when it fades, or when it transitions to something different, or there's less money, or it's more saturated, or whatever happens, that I've cashed in while the cash in was good, right? I don't want to wait. I don't want to just do mediocre or have some mediocre success and miss the train. So ultimately what it comes down to is every single solar rep that's in this industry right now, it's evolving and changing across the United States. We saw net metering 3.0. Arizona is just a crap market, dude. I just got to be honest with you. Arizona is a very challenging market with dealing with the 2 different utilities or 3 different utility companies. It's very challenging. And we can see this trend happening across the United States. And so there's going to come a time where it's just going to be standard procedure that people get solar. You buy a house, you just get a solar system. Dude, you don't need some sales rep in your house telling you how it works to make $4,000 or $5,000. It's not going to happen, right? I don't know if it's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, who knows? I know that there's a shelf life on this. And so if you're in the solar industry, you need to be taking advantage. You need to be taking advantage right now while you can. You need to be making millions of dollars. You need to be making 7 figures, 8 figures, whatever it is, however much money you can make, you need to take advantage of it, because this opportunity is transitioning and it will change. I guarantee you it will change. You know what? You know what? Australia, the price per watt for solar in Australia is like 30 cents a watt, dude. 30 cents a watt. How long until we get to that point? You know, how long is it until the United States of America gets to that point? I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, who knows? I'm going to cash in while I can. I'm going to make millions of dollars on this industry while I can, until it transitions to something different. This is very disruptive. We're disrupting entire industries that have been the only source of electricity since the dawn of time that the energy was created. So we better take advantage, dude. Every single solar rep out there better be taking advantage. You better be taking advantage, because you know that this isn't going to last forever.
Yeah, and really we are in kind of like that gold rush era, where if we're not taking advantage of this right now, we truly are missing out on hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars even. So, you know, we kind of brushed a little bit about kind of some of like the challenges that solar is going through. And that's been kind of a big thing with interviewing solar reps, is just their ability to adapt. What are some of your tips and tricks for being able to adapt in the solar industry?
Well, the first and foremost thing, don't participate in the bullshit. If people are like, oh, it's solar's hard, don't participate. Don't buy into that. Don't buy it. Like, I'm in Arizona, dude. I sell SRP, probably arguably one of the most difficult markets. The buyback rate's 4 and 6 cents a kilowatt. There's hybrid systems. There's all sorts of crap you have to deal with. You're not saving people money unless they're over $200 a month. Most people are going to be spending at least 20, 30 bucks extra per month. Don't participate in what everybody else is saying. The masses are asses, dude. And let me just tell you this, look for the people that are having huge level success. Don't look for the scrubs. Don't look for the people that are buying into this bullshit. I choose not to participate in a recession. I choose not to participate in high interest rates. Like, oh, it's harder because of high interest rates. I choose not to participate in this. I get to choose what I participate in. What I understand and I realize is Arizona's a very challenging market, but guess what? It's the sunniest state in the country. Then it doesn't matter if you save money. There's multitude of benefits with making a decision to go solar. It's just not savings, predictability, ownership, quality of life. Dude, there's other benefits that you don't have to set your watch to. And the other thing is you got to be able to adapt and change. Since I've been in this industry since 2020, dude, it has changed dramatically. I went from selling APS with a net where it had net billing, but the buyback rate was 12 cents. Dude, it's 7.8 cents a kilowatt right now, right? 7.8 cents a kilowatt. Went from 12 to 7.8 cents a kilowatt. You have to be able to adapt and change and figure stuff out. And then also look to someone else that's having huge level of success. Listen, I have a blueprint that is recession proof. It's interest rates proof. It's utility proof. It's a blueprint that I choose not to participate in all this other bullshit that other people are choosing to participate in. And I just do my thing. And I understand and realize that this is a valuable, solar, the value proposition, it's more valuable than the extraction that we're taking from clients. Whether or not they're saving money or not is irrelevant at that point. You get quality of life, you get ownership, you get predictability. There's a multitude of other benefits and stuff that you can pivot and change to. So the first and foremost thing, don't listen to the masses because they're asses, dude. Don't participate in that shit. Everybody gets on this fear train. Oh, they're making these excuses, right? So let me put this in perspective. The year before, last year, I sold 376 accounts, right? I had over 280 installs. I got a double golden door. This last year, I sold 280 total, but it wasn't because of the participation in what was going on with interest rates. Dude, I remodeled an entire house, dude, by myself. Like I had all the contractors in there. I got married. I took 2 weeks off. Dude, I did all of these other things. It wasn't because of interest rates. It wasn't because it's more of a challenge. It's because I didn't put in on the same time and energy and commitment that I did the year before. And first and foremost, I don't know if I was willing, dude, because let me just tell you, selling 376 accounts, dude, it was brutal. It was very challenging. Anybody can do it, but you have to pick your sacrifice. I had to pick my sacrifices, no friends, no relationships, time with my kids, all of the other things that I had to do to be able to hit that number. But I had that goal that year. I was like, I'm going to hit 300 accounts, 300 accounts. I'm going to get a golden double golden door. And by October, I had 300 accounts. I'm like, I'm not going to stop. How many accounts can I get? And I sold 376. But let me just tell you, every single day, 6 days a week, dude, was a grind. If you hit 300 accounts, 300 plus accounts, dude, every single day is going to be a grind. And you've got to kind of enjoy, you've got to get some sort of a joy out of that grind. But the first and foremost thing, don't participate in what everybody else is doing. Do your own thing. Understand and realize that solar is a valuable proposition to people. People need it. People want it. The world needs it. The world wants it. This is something that everybody will have in the future. This is the way of the future, man. This is 100% the way of the future. And if you can't sell on savings, then you've got to adapt to some of the other benefits. Savings is not the end all. There's quality of life, there's ownership, there's predictability, there's multitude of other benefits. And maybe those disappear, another one will pop up. Something else will pop up. And so you get to focus, you get you get the choice to focus on what you want to focus on. You get the opportunity to focus to make your attention to what you want to focus on. And so I choose to look at the opportunity rather than looking at the other stuff that people are participating in.
The masses are asses. I love that. So awesome. So yeah, it is very interesting to kind of see a lot of guys I've interviewed. It's kind of been a very similar story. It started around COVID. And I mean, back then it was selling big on the savings. And right now it's selling big on the value. And you touched up on this a lot. What's some of your advice to how to really sell on that value?
Probably the most effective way on selling for me has been storytelling. So I sell in two very different, completely different utility companies. So SRP and APS, they're the ones that are based here in the Phoenix metro area. And so there's two completely different ways that you sell both systems, right? And so it gives me an edge. I think I could sell any utility anywhere. Give me net metering, dude. I'll sell 500 accounts a year, bro, because we do not have net metering. Net metering hasn't existed since 2016. But what ends up happening though is if you don't have savings, well, what other benefits do you have? The first and foremost thing is you got to create some sort of urgency. I do that with stories. There's two separate stories that I tell with each utility company, and they're both true. And what the story is going to encompass, it's going to encompass, first of all, benefits for the customer, some sort of urgency, show them how this is disruptive and how it's changing and how the utility companies do not like you going solar because it dips into their margins. And it's going to create some urgency. So the frame I set is with a story rather than setting a frame with words. People are always going to remember stories. If you think back in your own mind and you think back of any sort of anything you've ever been to, stories are always going to resonate with you. You're going to remember the principles out of the stories. So each utility company, I'm going to tell separate stories to, and the stories are going to encompass something that's going to create some sort of urgency that's going to be laced with benefits, and they got to be relating to the customer. So the first thing I tell is about the stories and how it's getting more challenging, how it's getting more difficult. If they would have gotten solar back in 2016, 2015, they would have been happier because they would have net metering. We can only work with what we have today, and it's this. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to leverage and I'm going to pivot, right? So I'm going to kind of create these things. I'm not going to base my solar presentation off savings. I'm going to base it in some of these other benefits. And then I go into a multitude of other stories that are going to be laced with ownership. And I'm going to ask question-based selling. I'm going to get them to connect the dots themselves by a series of questions that I do, like the ownership quality or the predictability. I'm going to leverage it with asking them questions of doing gas analogies because gas is very similar to you. It's a measurement, it's a unit measurement of energy, right? And then I'm going to tell my own personal story with my own solar story, right? Being able to have good quality life here in Arizona, you got to understand, dude, our average temperature in the summertime is like 100 degrees. This is the highs and lows mixed together. I think it's like 98 degrees or something in July and August. And so people, what they're doing, they're sitting around their house at 80 degrees, bro. They're sitting in their house with their thermostat at 80 degrees, walking around in their underwear, sweaty, hot, miserable. And so I'm going to talk about the quality of life. This is a huge one in Arizona. It's probably the number one benefit with going solar, having the ability and the capacity to use as much energy you want when you want, how you want. And I'm going to leverage my own personal story on what happened when I moved to Arizona and what happened once I got solar. And it's a very memorable story. It's going to give them the customers pictures in their brain. They're going to be thinking about this stuff. They're going to be relating it to themselves. Usually, if I'm in a home in the summertime, dude, it's hot. I'm offering them $20 to turn the thermostat down because I'm getting a headache, dude. I'm going to make a joke about it, right? All of these other things. And I'm going to lead them to, and I'm going to lead a little crumb trail, breadcrumb trails, and I'm going to lead them to the decision so that they come up with the idea on their own. They come to the conclusion of the other benefits rather than singularly selling on savings. I sell a lot on predictability. Predictability is huge. If you look at the end, if you look at the rising cost of energy and what's happening in the Arizona market and across the nation, dude, Arizona is going to go up 100% in less than 8 years. Both utility companies are going up exponentially because they're transitioning from coal down to solar. Everybody's going to pay for that. If you're an energy consumer, you are going to pay for that. The utility companies aren't. I'm going to get them on my side. They're going to see them as bad guys. And then what they're going to see is the solution. Then I'm going to, after selling the problem, I'm going to deliver the solution. If you can get good at selling a problem, dude, you're going to close way more deals and you're going to have way more traction. If you're just selling features and benefits, dude, people don't see that as a solution. They don't even know they have a problem. Customers are typically in the dark or they're ignorant about the problem they have. What they have is a huge problem. Here in Arizona, dude, we have massive utility bills. It's not uncommon to see someone with a $700, $800, $900 energy bill in the summertime. And so, first of all, it's bringing that to their attention, asking them how they feel about that, bringing that to their attention, selling a problem. And here's the one tip, dude. If you can get good at selling the problem, the solution is just the obvious answer. And so what happens is after I sell the problem, and I'm doing that with stories, then I'm leading them on the breadcrumb trail, and I'm leading them to the obvious solution, which is solar, which is the making the decision to go solar. And it's not bullshit. I'm not selling snake oil. This is a legitimate solution for these people to get out of this problem that they're having. They're having a huge problem with the utility company and the rising costs. Most people's income's not going to go up enough at the same rate that the utility companies are going up. And so I'm leading on that breadcrumb solution, and they're connecting the dots themselves, and they're coming to the conclusion themselves. Rather than me telling them, I'm leading them on this journey where they kind of figure it out themselves, and they're going to leverage the stories, and they're going to connect the dots and stuff to find the true benefits. Don't sell on savings. If you get in the habit of selling on savings, you're going to be screwed when the utility companies change and they end net metering or they have some other bogus energy plan. We can see this trend happening across the United States. This just is in Arizona, although Arizona was the pioneer in screwing customers over. This is the sunniest state in the country. The utility companies feel threatened. They should feel threatened because solar is the solution to our energy crisis, right? And so leading them on this breadcrumb trail and showing them the solution and showing them and telling them, hey, if you would have gotten solar before, you would have been much happier. Letting them know, have to have some sense of fear of loss, right? Fear of loss is going to be a greater motivator than the hope of something than a pleasurable experience. So if you can leverage some sort of fear of loss, you can get them on your side. You can get them looking at the utility company and believing you. Ultimately, they're going to come to the conclusion themselves, and they're going to come to the conclusion that solar is the obvious solution. So quality life, savings, predictability, and then some sort of ownership program is what you got to sell on. Listen, if you're in a utility company right now that sucks, dude, you can still sell lights out with these types of solutions. So you got to understand with Arizona, man, Arizona is a tough market. I get net billing with APS, and it's getting progressively harder. In fact, the commissions corporations just institute a policy where they're going to charge solar customers exclusively, you know, anywhere from $11 to $25 more per month just for having solar systems. Here in SRP, dude, they're really raking in on the customers. They give them some sort of a bogus rate plan where they have a demand plan, dude. These areas are very challenging. But let me just tell you this. Don't wish it was easier. Wish that you had bigger skills, right? This is a Jim Rohn quote. Don't wish that it was easier. And let me just tell you this, too. When I first started out in the alarm industry, Phoenix market was a very challenging market. So I was so grateful. I'm so grateful that that first week I had to cut my teeth in this area where I just got my ass kicked door after door, because what it forced me to do is improve and get better and up my skills and improve and have that insatiable desire that I was reading the training manual every single day so that, you know, someone would give me an objection and I would just brush it off. I would overcome it, where I'd be able to ask a question, where I'd be able to identify with empathy and be able to lead these customers into making a good decision. And so literally that's what it comes down to. And if you're in a challenging market, feel grateful for it. I'm grateful that I'm in Arizona. Dude, guess what? If I went to Florida market, dude, I would destroy it. Give me a market that has net metering, dude. I'll do 500 accounts a year. Give me a market where I'm actually saving people money, dude. I will destroy that market. I'm selling 300 plus accounts a year here in the, probably arguably the most challenging market in the United States. Give me one of these other markets, dude, and I will crush it. You will see numbers like you've never seen before. But the idea with this is because I've skilled up. You have to improve. You have to get better. You have to develop more skills. And the harder, the more challenging the market, the better your skills will be, right? Or you're going to quit. And so it's just like pushing weights. If you go into the gym and you're pushing 20-pound dumbbells every week in and week out, you will never get better. Or let's say this, now you're pushing a 10-pound dumbbell. I don't even know if it'll be effective. You know, pushing a 10-pound dumbbell, maybe through the law of, you know, consistency, you might get a little bit of definition. But if you're consistently going in there, you're pushing the 20, the 25, the 30, the 40, the 50. If you're doing it to rate of failure, you will build, you will tear the muscle down and you will build it up. And I always compare sales just like that. It's the same analogy. Dude, you always got to be pressing yourself and pushing yourself and improving your skills. We're never staying the same. We're either going backwards or we're going forwards. We don't stay stagnant. Either you're improving or you're regressing. And so that's been the theme of my career. And doing blitz trips with for alarms, dude, I got to be honest with you. I would do blitz trips with alarms in really unsaturated areas that I would just roll them up. I, you know, sell 30 accounts in a week. I was always super grateful to be there. But when I would go to a challenging market, dude, I would just want to quit. I'd be like, dude, this is too hard, because my skills had been through some atrophy. And so as a result of that, but when I would go to a hard market and I'd have to really challenge myself and I'd have to really put forth every skill that I had in my toolbox, like when I would go to these areas, I would line them up. I would destroy it. So you can get good at any market. You can continue to do blitz trips if you want to, if you found your niche in blitz trips. But you know, the blitz trips for me was a staple for me for years. But the problem, I had to make massive sacrifices to my family, had to make massive sacrifices to my friendships. I choose to stay in Arizona. I have a life here. I have a wife here. I have my kids here. I have a beautiful home. I have a, you know, I have a my boat. Dude, I'm not leaving this area to go do blitz trip. Could I make hundreds of thousands of dollars more? Probably. Could I make millions of dollars more moving to another market? Probably. Do I want to do that? No, I'm not willing to make that sacrifice today. I'm willing to improve on my skills and get better. I'm willing to just improve and be able to make millions of dollars in a market that's very challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, the themes of adaptability, no matter what, have just been coming back over and over on the podcast, which is awesome. And learning how to up-level yourself as a salesman skills-wise so you can just really thrive in any sort of environment. So Lately in solar, you know, there's a lot of talk about interest rates. There's a lot of talk about dealer fees and things like that. What are your opinions on both interest rates, dealer fees? How are you explaining those things to people? If you do sell dealer fees, like how is that approached and whatnot?
Well, that's a good, this is like a technical skill. So the first and foremost thing, I work for Fusion Power. We have nine different loan products, right? Nine. And so like the companies, I feel sorry for the companies that only have GoodLeap. And I'm going to talk some crap about GoodLeap for a minute, right? GoodLeap is the most widely used solar lender in this space. They got on while the getting was good. They got on at a very early time. They're very profitable. But what they're doing is, I feel like any company that makes an exclusive relationship with GoodLeap is doing the reps a disservice and doing their customer a disservice. If I bought something and I paid 38% dealer fee and I found out of it, I would be livid. I would be absolutely livid. And that's 38%. How much more could have the rep have made? I mean, that's like a lot of money, leaving a lot of money to give to the bank who literally just gave the money and didn't do a whole lot of effort to be able to gain that business. To be able to give these guys. So, you know, if you're working for an organization, I would challenge you to be very knowledgeable about the loan products that you have. We have nine different loan products. There's one that I like. It's a 7.99% with a 5.86% dealer fee. It's been changing and evolving and getting worse and worse. It used to be 6.99% with no dealer fee. It was absolutely amazing. But here's the pivot. So back when I started, what did we have? 2.99%. And then we went all the way down to we had the 0.49% from Sunlight. I love Sunlight. Sunlight was my go-to for millions of dollars of loans. It's all I used. I had a 24% dealer fee. You always compared the monthly to monthly because they always had a lower monthly. But then what happened? The interest rates started to climb, right? And so what we had to do is we had to pivot and change. So now, rather than selling on the monthly to monthly because it looks disgusting, I'm selling on the overall, and I'm going to do a higher interest rate, right? And I'm going to give them a lower overall. And I'm going to tell the customer, hey, I know that the monthly to monthly doesn't look good, but this is almost the same as cash. Let me show you what everybody else is using. And I'll pivot and I'll show them a comparison with the GoodLeap, a 38% dealer fee. This is what you're going to pay to the bank. This is the bank's fee, 38%. Do you see how the loan just jumped up $20,000? You're saving all that. So this is advantageous for you to be able to pay this off early. I'm selling on the overall, whereas 0.49%, I would briefly go over the overall, but I wouldn't talk about it. I would talk about the monthly to monthly, right? Now I'm focusing on the overall. I'm focusing on the total overall package. You have to adapt and change. You have to adapt and change. You have to pivot. You have to be able to figure stuff out. You have to be knowledgeable about the loan products that your company has and then figure out what's best for the customer. And you'll do this in the discovery. You'll figure out, like, what does this customer want or need? I know leases are very popular in other markets. A lease here in Arizona sucks. Dude, you can't get a good enough price per kilowatt. Dude, you have to be able to hover that price per kilowatt around 7 or 8 cents a kilowatt if you have any semblance of not charging these customers over $100 a month. So you have to pivot and you have to change. A lease is a very easy thing to sell. It's very easy. You're just selling on a different monthly. But here in Arizona, that's a challenging thing to do because at 12 cents, 13 cents with an escalator, dude, they're not saving any money. In fact, you're adding a $50 to $100 extra bill. So be knowledgeable about the products that you have. If you have a lease and the lease looks really good and the lease is really good for the customer, sell on that. Leases are very easy to sell, dude, because you don't have that overall. But if you're in a market where a lease doesn't make sense, or maybe your company doesn't have enough, maybe your company doesn't have a lease option, then you got to be able to pivot and change. You got to be knowledgeable about what we do. Listen, we're all professionals here. We're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. Be a professional. Know what the loan products look like. Know the dealer fees. Know the interest rates. Know what to give to your clients. It's about being a professional. If you really pride yourself on being a professional, being good at your job, it's up to you to know what each loan product has and also know the verbiage in each loan product. Like if you're going through that, I go through the entire contract with all my customers. I want to make sure that they understand what they're getting into. And I want to make sure that I want to short my cancellations. What happens with people that have high cancellation rates? They're like, oh, sign here, here, and here. They don't even go through any of that. I can go through any loan product out there, and I can explain in detail like every single line item and stuff on inside of a loan product. It's about being knowledgeable and knowing what to do. And then also be able to pivot and change. Like, listen, if the monthly to monthly doesn't look good, but you have a good overall, like you have a good overall. My loan prices have dipped tens of thousands of dollars because I've got, you know, I had a 0% or a 0% dealer fee, right? A 5% dealer fee. Dude, my loan amounts have went from average $50,000 to average $30,000, right? And so now I'm selling on that. You got to look at the benefits for the client, and you got to be able to focus on really what's best for them. And you got to focus on being able to accentuate the positive and not look at some of the negative shit, or to get into the position where you're using excuses. Oh, interest rates are too high, or there's too big of a dealer fee, or there's too big of this, there's too big of that. Dude, don't get mixed into that stuff. Don't participate in that. Find what's best. Find the benefits for the client, and then be able to really show the customers and stuff what the benefits are.
I love that. So Luke, what research are you doing on your EPC before you start putting in installs?
I've been with one, dude. I stay loyal. So I'm with Fusion Power. I love these guys, but they give me a good a lot of leeway. I'm kind of a dick sometimes, so they let me yell at them. I kind of lose my temper with them sometimes, but they listen to me, and then they may implement changes. They've changed the comp plan to give my guys more money under me so that we can spread the wealth around. They listen to me and what I have to say. So our speed to install, we're the fastest company in the state of Arizona to install. Fastest company in the state to PTO. We have an operations manager who's worth his weight in gold. This guy is a genius. I love this guy. Literally, it's a good relationship between me and him. He's absolutely phenomenal. They're making all these changes. When I sell an account, to sell 200, 300, 400 accounts a year, you cannot be bogged down with customer service. You just can't do it. You don't have the bandwidth. You don't have the time. You don't have the energy. So when I sell an account, I have an account manager that reaches out to them the next day. Hey, my name's Sean. I'm your account manager. You guys can call or text me anytime. I'll answer any of your questions. So I have someone else headlining that customer service for me, so I don't get bogged down with that. If you're bogged down with a ton of customers that you have to be able to keep going back and forth to, back and forth, some of you guys might like that. I don't like that. I like to be able to, in the customer's home, deliver what I'm good at, focus on what I'm good at, which is generation of accounts and selling them. And then I like to be gone. I don't want to come back and make relationships with these guys and focus on people that have already closed, right? And so I have a good relationship with my EPC. I would be looking for someone that has, you know, speed to install is a big thing. It's going to shore up cancellations. Speed to PTO, make sure they have good customer service. You don't want to be with a company where you're like ashamed to show them any of the reviews, or you're like, dude, I hope they don't look at the reviews. They're going to cancel. You know, you want to be with a company that you can take pride and respect in, and that someone that's going to got your back. So I feel like the EPC I work with, which has been a singular one since I've been in my career, I've been really fortunate to be able to work with such a good company. Are there other good companies here in the Valley? Absolutely. Sun Solar Solutions, Michael O'Donnell's company, phenomenal company. They do everything by the book. They work with integrity. Those guys are legit. You know, those guys are awesome, dude. Their speed to install, very fast. Their PTO time, very fast. Customer service is just like absolutely phenomenal, amazing as well. So you want to find a company though that has of these attributes that you're looking for. You want to find a company that, first of all, that you're going to sell the customer, or you're going to help the customer make a decision to go solar, and then you're not going to have to worry about, is this going to get installed? Is someone going to reach out to him? And the permit's going to go. You know, you don't want to be worrying about all that stuff. That'll be added much unneeded stress inside your life, and it's going to stifle the production. So be with a company that lets you live up to the truest potential yourself. I don't know what every individual rep looks for. Maybe you look for something different than what I look for. I look for companies that are going to listen to me. They're going to implement changes. They're going to listen to from a rep standpoint that in the trenches, that's going to be able to listen and actually implement some of these changes. Someone that's going to got my back, that's going to be able to deliver amazing customer service to let me live up to my best potential, which is generating accounts, selling accounts, and training guys.
Love that. Love that. As you know, it's been fun watching and following you on Instagram. I love that you've been putting videos of your pitch and of actual door approaches, which is cool. So you're definitely are still in the trenches, still in the thick of it. So when you're out setting appointments, what do you do to help maximize your sit ratios?
You want to spend. So what I've noticed is if I can set appointments, I can set 10 appointments a day. If I'm sitting with the customer, you know, I knock on their door, I sit with them for 5 minutes. Those clients typically don't have a good sit ratio. I'll be one out of four. The longer the period of time you can sit with them at the door on building value, on displaying the value proposition, asking questions, doing some fact finding, the longer that you can find that buy button of this customer, the better the sit ratio. The magic number is 15 minutes, right? 15 minutes. I notice that anybody I sit with on their door for 15 minutes, those people have a high likelihood that they're going to connect with me and meet with me on the return, right? If I sit there with 5 minutes, they're in a rush, I'm in a rush, we're both rushing, and I get out 5 minutes, I don't have enough time to build the value proposition and get them curious and get them like get their desires get their desire to meet with us. And so ultimately, that's what it comes down to. The longer that you can sit with them at the door, rather than just being fly by night, sit with them 5 minutes, talk to them 5 minutes, they give them the utility bill, you leave. Those aren't going to sit. The sit ratio on those aren't going to be very good. Maybe they're just trying to get rid of you. They're just going to be like, yeah, I'll set the appointment. They're just placating you, and then they're never going to show up. They're never going to send you a text. They're going to send you an email. The longer the period of time that you can sit with them, the better. And the other thing too is, if you're a setter, dude, you need to be going to the closes. You need to be saying, hey, I want to go to the closes, because you'll learn a plethora of different information when you're inside the home, and you can leverage it and use that when you're knocking doors. So often you see a setter, a closer model, and the setter, the end game for a closer is to no longer set doors. But first of all, you're leaving a lot of money on the table unless you're busy, because there's been like 2022, bro, I was too busy to knock doors. I knocked probably, total of, I don't know, 30 hours that entire year because I was so busy. But the end game isn't to transition out to the close. I love both. I love setting appointments, and I also love closing appointments. I'm good at both. And I like having a well-rounded, I like having a well-rounded game for that. But if you're a setter, you need to be going to the closes, and you need to be telling the customer on the door in a shorter, condensed period of time what's going to happen at the close. And a good close is a good opening. If you can set up and you can set the frame right with the opening, it's going to set the close up for almost 100% close ratio inside the home. If I set an appointment on the door, dude, the chances of that appointment closing, very, very likely. Very, very likely. Because I set up the framework, and I'm reiterating the stuff that I told them at the door. I'm first telling them stories. I'm talking to them. I'm gauging their interaction. I'm trying to find the buy buttons. What is this person going to resonate with? Are they going to resonate with the quality of life? Are they keeping their house very warm? Do they resonate with ownership? Do they resonate with, some sort of a predictability? Which one of those key ingredients and stuff do I see the buying signs from these people? And then you want to kind of hone in on that. Once you find those, you're going to kind of hone in on that, and you want to set it up for the close. And so often, if you're a closer on this and you have time in your schedule, dude, go knock doors. Go knock doors. You're not above knocking doors, right? You're not above. And let me just tell you, it's fun. It is exciting. I'll tell you what, the other thing is, if I could find a closer that had the same closing ratio that I would, all I would do is knock doors and set appointments. You know what I'd do? I'd do 4 hours a day, 6 days a week, and I would free up this incredible space of time, because I know that I would be able to have a closer that comes in there and closes my deals. Knocking doors is probably the greatest thing ever. I could go set in a 4 hour period, I could go set six, seven appointments, dude. What better than that? In a close, you're in a house for what, 2 hours? Sometimes two and a half. Sometimes you're driving. Like the 2 weeks ago before I went on my vacation, I sold 11 accounts that week. Dude, I was working 13-hour work days, bro, because I was driving from appointment to appointment in the house for 2 hours. Sometimes the paperwork would take a little bit longer, 2.5 hours. How much time did I have to invest in that, right? Versus being on the door, setting a good quality appointment, and being done in 4 hours, dude. How much more time freedom do you have? How much more time freedom do you have? Dude, this is literally the pinnacle of freedom right there. And if you can be a setter and you can be getting 50%, dude, you're there for 15 minutes. The closer's in there for 2 hours, dude. Who got the better ratio? Who's got the better ratio? Now you average up, how much time did I spend on the doors this week? Like, okay, maybe you spent 3, 4 hours a day, 4 hours a day times six, 6 days a week. How much time did that closer spend going to appointments and closing those appointments? Because I guarantee, if you look at the ratio, the closer's typically going to be spending a lot more time on running those appointments and driving to those appointments than what you're going to spend on knocking doors. Don't be scared to knock doors. People get this stigma. They don't want to knock doors. Listen, knocking doors gives us this opportunity. And people look at it like it's below them. What's your problem, dude? Knocking doors is incredible. Where else can you go from broke to knocking on one door and make $5,000? Dude, where else? Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. I love knocking doors. Sometimes I get out of that. And the problem here is with me is, like, when I'm running appointments, like that week that I hit, I sold 11 accounts. I was working so much time, I didn't have any time to knock doors. All I was wishing for is that I would have had time to go knock doors, Right? You just wish. The other thing is when you get in this position where all you're doing is running appointments, you no longer want to knock doors, because knocking doors to get out there and actually knock the door requires a huge level of initiative and ambition to open up the car door and go knock, because we get inside of our brain and our brains are telling us all these other things, right? Like, we don't want to do this, we don't want to do that, I'm going to get yelled at, blah, 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 whatever the story that goes on inside our brains. And so once you get in this position where all you're doing is closing deals, people don't want to knock doors anymore, but they forget what got us to the position that we're in. Knocking doors, probably the best thing ever, especially if you can knock on good doors, make good connections with people. Yeah, you're going to get yelled at. You're going to get all sorts of stuff, man. But ultimately, what it comes down to is if you focus on getting yelled at, or you can focus on getting yelled at, or you can focus on those connections that you're making that will lead you to a four, five, six, seven, $10,000 commission. And ultimately, it's what you focus on is what you're going to get.
Yeah, sometimes we just got to go back to our roots. I love that. Do you have any systems or programs in place to where you are rehashing old leads or no-shows?
Yeah, I do. I have a call center. So what happens is, like, all of the appointments I've got, knock doors. I've got probably 1,300, 1,400 appointments and stuff. How many of those showed up? How many didn't? We rehash those, and I call those customers up again, and I try to rehash those. And so, like, let's say I knocked on a door. When I first started, I knocked on a ton of doors, made a ton of appointments, and had very, very a low sit ratio. We've rehashed a ton of those. And then what happens is you just go back there and close them. And so maybe you have some free time. Maybe if it's like you got some free time and you're a rep and you can go rehash your own stuff, you can get a list. I use an Excel spreadsheet. So I upload the Excel spreadsheet into ZenCall. And then I have my call center call these people up, and they'll try and get them back on board. I wouldn't give the rehash stuff to, like, brand new lead setters on the phone. I would give them to someone that's reputable that can set appointments. So.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So, dude, this has been absolutely fire. I do really appreciate you hopping on. Now kind of to kind of end the podcast on just like the solar golden door. If someone's wanting to hit a golden door in solar, what's your advice to them?
Work hard, be committed, make it your goal. So first, in the first of the year or whenever, what you don't have to wait till the first of the year. If you haven't set the goal to get a golden door, well, how many deals do you need? How many installs do you need? How many appointments do you need? If it's 200, if you get a setter closer model, but how many deals? Like, you set an appointment, you get one whole point. Like last year, dude, I probably set 50 of those appointments, man. So I had 200 plus installs. 50 of those appointments were set from me and closed by me, right? And so how many deals do you need? Figure out your algorithm and then reverse engineer it. So here's my ingredient for success. So I always come out with the first of the year, I do this like 2 weeks of goal setting. I think about resonate with this. I work with Sam, and he has this sheet. I'm sure you did the sheet where we reflect on the year before, we reflect on what's coming up. And so, like, I'll hit a number. I never hit a monetary value, because once I hit that, I want to exceed what I have. So I hit a number. How many deals do I want? So, like, this year is 250 deals. So then 250 deals. Now you divide that by 12. How many deals a month is that? Then you divide it by four. Then you divide it by the daily average, right? And then what you come down to is you come out with a recipe for success. All you have to do is you break it down to the infinitely small. And all you have to do is set this. And then if you're doing that, you know, how many sets do I need to get one deal? Like, how many sets? You can reverse engineer this all the way back. And then you have a perfect blueprint on to achieve that success. So it's not like, oh, I want to get 200 deals. No. Here's your recipe to success. Here's how many hours you have to work to be able to get this. And then you can check your thermostat on a weekly, monthly, semi-annual basis. How close am I to achieving this? What do I have to do? What alterations do I have to make? Ultimately, what it comes down to is that blueprint. You have to have a successful blueprint, and you have to know what you want, and you have to actually write it down somewhere and then just follow that algorithm. It's that simple. And break it down to the simple and to the, infinitesimally small, so that they're easy to chew, easy to chew, easy to bite-size actionable things that you can do as well. And so I do that with all my guys. So we sit down before the first of the year. I think some this year we sat down in January, and I reverse engineer, how many deals do you want? We go through a whole bunch of stuff. And it's just how many deals you want, how much money you want to make, what possessions do you want this year? Like, what relationships do you want to have? Who do you want to have friends with? And then we reverse engineer this stuff, and we give them an ingredient for success. I'm really big on systems and processes on to get what we want, right? There's one thing about, first of all, it's knowing what you want. What do you want? Why do you want it? Why? Like, Question yourself, why do I want this stuff? Then you have a big enough why. If your why is big enough, you will find anyhow. But then after you have that ingredient, right, then what you do is now you reverse engineer, and now you have a proven blueprint. I always tell people this. I'm like, hey, if I gave you the recipe and all the ingredients to bake a cake, could you do it? Most people say yes. You just have to follow step by step, right? Even if you're not a baker, right? You don't have to be a baker. Just be able to look at the ingredients. It's going to tell you the instruction wise on what to do. Anybody can do that. Just follow the instructions. And so what I tell people is like, why isn't your life like that? Your life should be one of instructions on what you need to do to be able to achieve the results that you want. I'm living a life beyond my wildest dreams as a result of implementing the strategy, being able to do what I got to do.
I love that. I love that. So great way to end the podcast right there. So guys, a real quick announcement too. Sales Summit. Luke is going to be speaking at our Sales Summit here March 21st through the 23rd down in Phoenix, Arizona, where he's based out of. Just real quick, what can people expect out of the Sales Summit?
Dude, it's life-changing, bro. So like what I was talking about before, invest in yourself. Invest in your education, invest into being around people that are performing at the level you want to perform at. There's a bunch of incredible speakers. We're doing NLP. NLP has been a big factor of my sales career. It's given me tactics and skills and stuff to convince people that we're otherwise never going to go solar. Like all of the stuff that you get about being here. I belong part of Sam's Mastermind. I pay a lot of money for that. Dude, it's worth it. I'm rubbing shoulders with people that are performing at levels that I want to perform at. And so investing in these types of curriculum or these type of events are always going to be better for the future. The investment that you will make 5 to 10-fold, maybe even 100-fold on the very small investment that you make. Investing in the time is the hard part for me. So investing in the time, if I'm going to invest, my time is worth more than my money, right? My money is obsolete in comparison to my time. Invest your time and your money, and you will see results 5, 10-fold. We're going to have an incredible lineup. I'm going to be sharing on sales process and what to do and be able to give you a proven blueprint to be successful, but also anybody else and stuff that's coming there, all of the speakers and stuff that we're going to have are absolutely phenomenal. You'll be around Sam. You're going to be around all of these other people. You have some NLP practitioners coming in there. This is a big part of the sales game. It's a big part of the self-talk. This is going to be absolutely epic. I'm super excited to be part of this. I'm super excited to be part of the mastermind deep dive before that. There's like, I think 2 or 3 days and stuff before that. I'm super excited about what's coming up.
Awesome, man. Well, we'll see you there. And guys, you know, DDDExperts.com, hit us up. Let's get you tickets to the Sales Summit before it's too late. And dude, again, appreciate you hopping on. And everyone, keep tuning in for more tips and tricks on how you can be a Golden Door winner.